WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to have an interesting show today. We're going to make it fun, too. I mean, when you get up early in the morning, you want to hear some good stuff, and that's what we're going to have, and we always have. We do want to let you know that Sims Auctioneers have a place that's being sold coming up. It's Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. It's located at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna. Shirley Drennan is retiring and moving three guns, gun cabinets, trailers, tools, lots of furniture, a zero-turn mower, that's good for you, Butch, a projection TV, vintage kitchen items, and an upright freezer, refrigerator, and many more items, too numerous to mention, will be sold at auction. The auction will be this Saturday at 10 a.m., located at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna. Check out LarrySims.com for more details. Absolute auction this Saturday morning at 10 at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna. First of all, congratulations, Butch Campbell. I guess sometimes these extra responsibilities, especially at your age, can be overwhelming. But I think they made a good choice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope they did. We'll give it our best and try. And I certainly appreciate the confidence that members of the board have in me to be chairman. And I also want to congratulate Nancy Rainier on being vice chair.
Yeah.
Nancy does a good job.
Great choices.
Well, we hope so. We're anxious. Now, this is good until October, and then we'll have to reelect in October because that's what our board policy says. We had to elect the other day because state policy says that you've got to have a chair. And, of course, Mary Wade, who's been chair for a while and decided not to run again this year, so we had to.
Didn't that tell you something?
Well, she's been on there 16 years, so I don't know if I'll make it that long or not. But
she started a lot younger than you, Butcher.
She did. She may not be as old as me today, Truman, or you either one.
Now, you have Mr. Dan Bartsch on, and we have Mr. Dan Bartsch on.
Don Bartsch.
Well, I'm sorry, no. Don.
It's all right.
I won't make that mistake again.
That's okay.
I hope.
That's fine.
Than two more times.
I'm sure his principal, for several years, he'd been called worse.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're going to be over at the new school.
Yes, sir.
Overall Creek.
Yes, sir.
How is it over there? Because a lot of people aren't familiar with where Overall Creek School is right now.
Okay. It's not directly on Veterans Parkway where Veterans meets 96 over there in the Blackman area.
Nice area.
Yes, sir. And it's you can see it from Veterans in 96. It's a two-story school, so it's the design is fantastic. It's going to be a beautiful building. It's already taking shape right now. They're about to have it all blacked in, closed in, and ready to go. But if you're over on that the west side, you can see it from Veterans now.
When is the opening time? Are you anticipating the opening day?
Well, we're anticipating what I call getting the keys to the Emerald City on July 31st right now.
They
have, and that's been pushed back a little bit because of the winter that we've experienced here this year. But from construction meetings that I've been in, that they're picking up some ground. So hopefully it'll be sooner than that. But that's still before school starts, so it's okay.
When you open up a new school, is it just like starting anew? Are you going to have all new teachers? I presume you will probably know a lot of the teachers will be there already.
Yes, sir. I know several of them because Scales Elementary, that was built to help with the overcrowding and Scales. And several of those teachers are coming over there to Overall Creek. Mm-hmm. But we just found out a little less than a week ago, there was some transfers within Murfreesboro City. Mm-hmm. So I have 23, 24 teachers that I've been in dialogue with now that are that I've got to get to know about half of them. The other half I know, but the exciting part is it becomes new for everybody. Mm-hmm. It becomes new for the students. This is the fourth building that I've opened in various roles, not as an administrator.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, sir. So I've had the pleasure of doing that since 1996, and it's exciting. It's very exciting. And everybody kind of gets a fresh start. You get a fresh start every year in school, but to have that whole fresh start, there's nothing rooted. There's no traditions. So you make important decisions that when I'm sitting there thinking about what we're going to be doing, you're setting the tone, and it's not something to be taken lightly.
Each principal has its own idea how to run a school. And is that something that you have noticed over the years, that the different ways that you deal with the teachers, with the parents, with the students, it's like going from one community to another, isn't it? Because you guys are like the mayor, I guess, and you're making sure that everything goes the way it should go.
That's exactly right. And you just have to I've learned real quick to just listen to people. And if you listen, and not one of my things is I don't pretend to have all the answers. And we'll find out what they are. But working with people, if you listen and have a problem-solving vision, instead of wallowing in problems, we're going to, okay, here's the problem. Let's see how we can fix that. How can we work together? There's not a secret in why everybody talks about it takes a village, and it really does. So we can't be successful if we're not all on the same page and working together. Parents, teachers, administration, all the way up to Dr. Gilbert. We got to be all working together.
How important is it to have a great rapport with the parents of the children that are going to your school? I think that, of course, we all, Butch and I, are at that age where PTA was a strong influence in the schools back years ago. Do you have the same open communication line with the parents today? It's similar to what we had, I guess.
Yes, sir. We do have already got our PTO officers established, and we're already working in that direction, and they're very excited. The parents that are reaching out to me that are coming to Overall Creek or want to know, have questions about Overall Creek, are excited about it. And we've got to have that involvement. And the communication is key. Fortunately, in this day of technology, we have some very quick ways to communicate, and actually quite easy. And everybody's growing accustomed to those, no matter what your age is, with you know, texting and emailing and voice messages and things like that. Again, that goes back to the listening. If we really listen to what people are talking about and what they're asking about, then we can get the best answers, and then it makes people feel comfortable. So I feel like right now I have to have a good rapport with the parents, because they don't know me. They don't know the school. Some of them have been in Rutherford County for several years, because where Overall Creek is located is right on the edge of the city limits.
Right.
So there are county people that are coming to Overall Creek from Rockvale, Blackman Elementary, that are out the direction. And so I have to establish that rapport right away in order for us to especially in an elementary setting, you're sending your little babies to school. So we've got to create that environment where they feel like that we're about the children.
If you want to know how good a school is, look for how many parents are trying to take their young kids to that particular school. Because there's a big fight usually. It comes from all directions on which school is the one that's most popular.
Yes, sir. And that, to me, as an administrator, that's one of my gauges on how we're doing as a school, how I'm doing as an administrator. If people, because there's private schools, and there's online schools, there's homeschooling. We have to provide a product and an environment that makes people, they're a customer. And that makes people feel comfortable and successful at the same time. It's about educating, and it's about growing children and meeting their needs. So I have to go out there and sell that product, but then I have to deliver. And I even look at teachers. If teachers are leaving my building and want to transfer out, why is that? Is it something that I'm doing? Is it something that the city is doing? Why are people leaving if they're leaving? why are students going to, and there's nothing wrong with private education. There's people that have different needs and different things, but that's how I decide if I'm doing well and our teachers are doing well, then everybody wants to come in. I spoke with 30 to 40 real estate agents about a month ago or 3 weeks ago. And that was one of the...
Did you get a house to buy?
I went because I was buying and selling my house. I did...
Smart man.
Yeah. I went and spoke with them about the challenges that I want. I want people to, when they come to town to Murfreesboro, lots of people moving here. Great place to live.
Yeah.
And I want them to go to these real estate agents and say, hey, where do I want my house to be? Mm-hmm. Where do I want to buy a lot? And I want them to say... Overall Creek Elementary School. This is where you need your children to go. Then that raises the bar for me to make sure that I deliver and to make sure that our teachers deliver and Murfreesboro City.
You know, we always talk about communications, and communications is not being as open as it should be, because there's a lot of pressure coming from outside, and it's starting to work inside as they're trying to circumvent the educators and the teachers and the parents and the kids. How do you going to deal with things like that?
Well, it's just being open and out front.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to hide.
It's important for the teachers to be happy, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because if they're, it's that becomes, that's their job, that's their career.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what, the difference is you're working with young children and people, but your whatever career that you were in, I'm hopeful that the supervisor or the boss or however you want, the CEO wants a good environment, that because if the teachers aren't happy, that doesn't mean they're always going to be happy. You're not always happy wherever at other work, but if they're happy and they feel supported and they're relaxed, then they're going to be fantastic teachers.
So I've always thought, and Butch has been on the same page with me, if you're going to have loyalty within a system, whatever it is, it has to start from the top.
Yes.
And then it has to work and all the way down. And if there is a open line of communication, then usually it's very successful.
Correct.
If the communication ever comes to a stop, then pretty much it just dies right there at the scene.
Correct. And I think a lot of people, and I agree with you totally, communication can also be used as feedback for those people, or indirectly. And if I'm not listening to the teachers, not listening to the parents, and we're not communicating back and forth, then there's no feedback and everything just, like you said, stops. And then everybody's kind of floundering around not knowing what to do.
Do you kind of feel that, like, as a board member, and you're elected, and you represent the people in the city of Murfreesboro, do you feel like that is one of the main things? Because you've been through the wars. I mean, you even had your own torture chamber down in the basement of Walter Hill.
I will never forget that. I wish I'd had you there for a while.
I would have been a whole lot nicer person, I'll guarantee
probably
you.
Probably. You mean as far as the communication goes?
As far as the curriculum and everything that is set up for the city schools, do you as a board member, and now the board chairman, even with more responsibility, do you have to almost sign off on some of the things that you have to deal with? I know the principals are the king of their kingdom. I know that's the way it's set up, and that's the way it should be, because that's what makes the school successful. As you know, everybody has their own logo. Every school has their own logo. And that's important for them to have pride in their schools. Do you get involved in those type things?
Well, I only get involved as a supporting role, primarily for principals. As you said, I've been there and done that, so I know a little bit about what Don's going through. I never opened up a new school.
I hope he's as hard-headed as you were.
Well, I hope he is too, and I hope he's and I think that he is. From what I know and have talked with him, I think that Don will do a great job, and I think the parents that go there and the students that go there will enjoy their stay there. But the communication part, I think, is essential. And the communication lines have got to be not only with the teachers and the staff, and we don't want to forget the custodians, the cafeteria, the EAs, and all those people. But the communication has also got to be open and with the students as well as with certainly the parents, and to be able to sit down with parents when you need to and explain what's going on and why it's going on.
You know, we had such a great partnership with parents and teachers and students all these years. And I think a lot of it, of course, the PTAs were very strong because a lot of the moms did not work back then. So they could spend 100% of their time dealing with their children. And parents don't have that opportunity anymore. And we experienced double jeopardy when we were kids. When we were disciplined when we were in school, we got it again at home because there was an open channel of parents mm-hmm. and principals. Do you feel like that you still have that this special relationship with the parents? And you're not old enough to remember any of this stuff.
Well, I was a product of that double jeopardy.
Congratulations! I can tell you that.
And you survived.
I made it. Yes, sir. It's different, but I still feel like the expectations mm-hmm. that if I'm to call a parent with a discipline issue, mm-hmm. that they know that I have their child's best interest at heart, mm-hmm. And it's not an agenda. It's not we're hiding anything. Is we make sure we investigate and are thorough in what we do to make sure we're doing the right thing. So it may not be the same, but it's still under the umbrella, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah,
it may not be handled the same way that it was handled with me. But there's still an expectation.
Unfortunately, that tool has been taken away.
That's right. There's still an expectation mm-hmm. of, hey, we need your help. If there's an issue here, you know, they don't need to go home and poor Johnny, poor Susie, they shouldn't mm-hmm. have done that to you. We got to be on the same page. And we'll work through that if that becomes an issue.
It's hard to deal with a parent whose total focus is that their child would never do anything wrong, whether it's with a teacher or with other students and mm-hmm. things like that. That's a very difficult thing to deal with, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I can remember some of my friends growing up that again, that's not as new thing, but again, it's bringing them in, working and trying to get on the same page. And I think if we have those open communication lines mm-hmm. that kind of squelches or deters that the school is the enemy
right.
Atmosphere. And typically we're pretty good with that. We're pretty successful with conveying that message that we're not the bad guy. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to create success for, well, I'm going to use Susie and Johnny again since I did.
You know, in this day and time where the kids are already supposed to be rocket scientists and we're teaching them new ways to build a rocket that makes it a whole lot more difficult than the easy way to build a rocket. when you look at your kids, and the teachers are looking at those kids now, as we know, everybody has different aptitudes.
Mm-hmm.
They have different talents that they can build on, and it's already preset, as we know. How do you deal with those particular type things when they have an aptitude for something that is not within the normal curriculum of the classroom? Because they're starting to do that in the county schools where they're aiming at careers, mm-hmm. even in as early as middle school.
Yes, sir. I have some middle school students. Yeah. Children of my own.
So. Good. How are you going to, can you preset that, maybe get the ball rolling a little bit toward what their particular talents are? Can you do it in your K through fives and things like that and kind of monitor what they're going to be able to do as they progress?
Well, you can if the teacher of the classroom gets to know their students, mm-hmm. and then that comes from the environment. So if it starts from me, if I get to know my teachers and find out what their strengths are and how we can work together to utilize their strengths to create a better school,
mm-hmm.
then it gets modeled. And then the teachers are getting to know their children, mm-hmm. and they can find out what each individual child's little strength is. The easy thing would be reading. What do they like to read?
Mm-hmm.
I would, that would you try to find a little bit about their background first, just to know who Johnny is. Mm-hmm. But then we can find out what they like, you know. And for example, me, I like to read about, you know, the NFL. Mm-hmm. So when I was an elementary student, I wanted to read all the books there was about the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, then we can find that. Now, obviously, we're not going to develop a third grader to be, you know, to make it to draft day at Radio City of Music Hall, mm-hmm. you know, in a few years. But we can utilize those strengths and talents to create an environment where they're not afraid to explore and learn and to grow mm-hmm. and then to be pushed. And so I've coached football and I've coached my children in soccer for the last 9 years. I'm not a believer in putting kids in situations where they're not comfortable at first. Mm-hmm. First, we're going to find out. So I'd ask my kids, hey, what position do you want to play? We'd start there. Then I'd find out, okay, wait a minute, you're good at, you know, defense. Now, you know what, I think mm-hmm. we can move you to here and push them a little bit, and that they don't know. So that's what I want to do, and that's what I want my teachers to do, is to find out what they like to do. And then I don't know that we can necessarily figure out what path they're going to take, you know, as far as, and I think this, and correct me if I'm wrong, if, you know, if they're going to go a certain career path out of fifth or sixth grade towards the middle school. Is that what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. To me, that can be dangerous if we start putting children on paths, because there's college students.
I don't think
students.
You're putting them in path. You're letting them follow a path.
Well, you're following
without
them.
Without putting pitfalls in the road where they're traveling.
Correct. Okay, so we're talking about the same thing. Right. You're creating a good path that they feel comfortable with and they're successful with. Yes, mm-hmm. definitely we can do that. And it's just getting to know those students and finding out and then differentiating. And you can do reading or math to meet those needs with the four of us sitting right here. Mm-hmm. We can decide what we need to do, and the teacher can adjust the curriculum and adjust their lessons to meet those needs.
And I think, of course, the teacher is the first line of defense anyway. I think she or he is the one that notices those things first. If anything, do you feel like that a teacher should have a lot of leeway in how they deal with a child? Because they're dealing with them on a personal level that almost nobody else does except for their own parents. I mean, the teachers have so much put on them mm-hmm. today, because they're basically they're raising the kid during those particular hours
right.
that they're there. They're the role model, and they're the ones that see their emotions and how things that are involved in what goes on in the curriculum actually affects the students directly.
Yes, sir. And the teacher, they're always going to have a lot of input. And one of the things that we do is we have weekly meetings, monthly meetings to discuss children. And it's always, you know, a child can take be given an assessment, mm-hmm. and they can a number can come up on what they did. Mm-hmm. Well, my first question is to the teacher: is that really indicative of their ability? Mm-hmm. Especially if we feel like it's a little bit low. Is that really where they're at? And so we talk about all of the things. And it could have been that day they just got up on the wrong side of the bed. So we're not going to just take a number. We're going to take what the teacher says. And when you talk about leeway, ultimately they're going to have their professional opinion and their input mm-hmm. And experience to decide what is the best way to meet the needs of those children. So they have leeway. Because they're the professionals. Mm-hmm. I'm not in their room with them. I can know it. I know several children from Scales. I knew them from when they were time they were kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Still not going to know them as well as a teacher.
Right. Now, Lisa Trail, you're with us today.
Hi.
You're the public relations person, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what does a public relations person with a school system do? Do you keep everybody else from getting in trouble?
Just me.
My job to communicate across the district for a lot of the events that we do for district-wide events. Keep an open communication line for between the principals, between the teachers, between the public, as well as the parents. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a lot of the schools on a regular basis.
What in the world is going on, Scott?
Mike would not.
Now you can start over, Lisa.
Yeah.
Which okay. mic was it on? Lisa's? Oh, my goodness. Bless your heart. I can't
actually,
believe we had a glitch here at the radio show.
I was
show.
Watching the control panel thinking, I don't think my mic's on, but wow. I was just sitting quiet. Anyway, my job is to communicate across the district mm-hmm. and to help to really be the partner with the principals as well as the central office staff and kind of to be the behind-the-scenes person. And hopefully we don't have any type of emergencies, but whenever we do, that's my job is to get involved with that, to make sure the public knows what's going on, mainly making sure the parents and the children know what's going on.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with this great trio.
Mostly cloudy skies here for this afternoon, a high into the lower 60s. Winds out of the northwest around 10 to 15 miles per hour and gusting as high as 20. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 52.
That update brought to you by Valvoline. Valvoline introduced motor oil back in 1866, and they've been reinventing it ever since. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. For more information on how to get your own free American flag, go to ValvolineUSA.com. We're talking with Michael Martin, co-owner of Georgia Career Institute here in Murfreesboro, and they have a brand new location at the intersection of Memorial Boulevard and Northfield.
A little more than twice the size of the school we had previously.
And you were telling me off the air, this place is just state of the art.
It is. It's magnificent. First of all, the entire building is lit by LED lighting. There's no fluorescent lighting. It's really amazing that way. But lots of art, lots of celebration of beauty and wellness, which is our focus as to what we teach and prepare students for.
Get out of the house. Turn off the computers, cell phones, and video games. It's time to create some family memories with your mom, dad, children, or your spouse. Or maybe just spend some quality time with your friends. I'm Randy Bowling from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street. I'm Randy Bowling. Now, turn off the computers and go hunting or fishing.
You can get non-medical care at home for you and your loved one. Just visit athomecaretn.com.
My name is Mary Arnold. I am the administrative assistant here at Home Care. I really love my job because I get to be interactive with the clients and the caregivers. I'm the first person they meet when they walk in the door and the last person they see when they leave. It's a very nice, relaxing place to work.
Here's Melissa Warren with At Home Care.
The one thing that I think really sets At Home Care apart is that we understand we may not be the answer for everyone that phones us, but our goal is to help everyone that phones us, give them direction, give them information, maybe lead them to where they do need to call to get the help they need.
For that personal, non-medical care at your home, contact the professionals at homecaretn.com.
Hey Murfreesboro, if you need a clean, reliable used car but you've had credit challenges in your past, Easy Auto is now here to help. We are the home of the small down payment, and we've been treating people right in East Tennessee since 1991. And now we're in Murfreesboro. Easy Auto finances your sales tax and registration. You'll also have peace of mind knowing every vehicle comes with a free vehicle history report and goes through a 49-point inspection, including emissions testing. Come see us at 2006 South Church Street or browse our inventory and apply online anytime at easyautoonline.com.
Why not buy the easy way? Just come on down and see today at Easy. We're always on your side. At Easy, we help you get your ride.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9. AM 1450 and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back. And I want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding, located at 900 Captain Joe Fulcombe Drive. And that's just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is a unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are beautiful, resistant to wind damage, which is a big time around here, and to roof rust, and some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693. That's 494-1693. Or pull them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com. One of the beauties about Overall Creek School, Don, is it's just gorgeous out there. It is just beautiful.
It really is. But the creek runs the whole east border of the property, and we're really going to utilize the creek and the buffer area that we need to leave on the creek with the woods and the vegetation there. And we're going to utilize that and kind of tie that in with a theme of an environmental focus of the school, speaking about doing some things with some recycling. Rutherford County does recycling in the schools anyway. We're going to try to up the game a little bit with that. But there's spots for, we're going to have spots for gardens, outdoor learning centers, talking about an outdoor sound garden. There's massive oak trees between the school and the creek. And once you break through that first brush barrier, the edge of the woods, that underneath those oak trees just kind of opens up, and it just looks like a classroom, an outdoor classroom. So we really don't even have to do that much work with it. But we're going to integrate that in with the curriculum, with the reading and the math. I've met with Dr. Cindy Smith-Walters. She's in the biology department at Middle Tennessee State. Her husband works with a division of the forestry department. We were out there a week ago yesterday walking the property and figuring out how to start out with these outdoor learning centers, these outdoor classrooms, because we want to be smart on what we're doing. And I want the community and the parents and the children and the teachers to actually work on building those outdoor learning centers and have their hands and their elbow grease in on that, because it helps with our buy-in. So then we incorporate that. We're talking about monitoring trees and leaves at different times of the year, and then using that as our math for measuring and working with fractions and tying that real life application into why we do math, why we, and then the writing. Dr. Smith-Walters, just, she's going to speak with our faculty, and she just was throwing ideas out, and they were all fantastic on how children can write stories about the birds they see, and possible bird feeding stations, and monitor that, and clear out a spot, and maybe get some footprints of some animals, and that can be the prompt. Seeing a deer print or a coyote print, or you know, maybe in a good winter or summer, we'd have an otter go through there and leave a print. So you never know.
Oh, there's plenty of them around.
They move.
Raccoons.
Yeah, raccoons, and so they can write that story in between the buildings. It's kind of, if you look from above, it's shaped like a double E, you know, back-to-back E. And in between those wings, there's going to be garden areas in there. And then what we can do is talk about the science. One side's the north side. One side is the south side. Well, we can't plant the same plants on the north and the south. So that would not be where Don Bartsch decides we're going to plant this here and there. We're going to say, okay, third grade class, here's your section. How are we going to make this work? But research, the writing, and the math, and figuring out, you know, you can, the sky's the limit. And we're very excited about it, but we're going to walk before we run. We're going to build a few of those spots. I think a really fun one that her husband threw out, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten his name, but he talked about that sound garden I mentioned, where the music class can go outside, do a section, and you work on percussion just right there using the items in the woods.
Work on percussion.
Yeah, just sounds, different sounds.
You're going to chase all the animals away.
Well, no, we might call some in.
you're kind of like a magnet school in some ways, aren't you?
Well,
and you are going to be drawing the kids in. You know, once you start something like that, you know it does cause problems, Don. Because a lot of these kids going to other schools are hearing about that, and they're wanting to go to your school now.
Well, unfortunately, that that does create, well, fortunately, it creates that problem, because then that means we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of zoning and things like that, it won't be able to work that way. But you know what? It'll create ideas for other schools. And there are other schools in the city that do things similar to that. But we've already, school nutrition is going to have, we're going to have hydroponic gardens.
Oh, wow.
We're one of the four schools, I think, that Sandy Sheely with the school nutrition department, that we're going to actually grow cucumbers and peppers and a couple of other vegetables that will actually go to our city schools' cafeterias.
Hmm.
So we're really excited about that. So, one of the things that I have to be careful of as a principal is that when we do all these things and people want to write these grants and get on board, is my first question to them is, we need sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can build all this stuff and build all this fantastic learning centers and whatever we want to do, but the long range, we have to keep it going. Otherwise, it'll look like a ghost town if we don't use it. So we really want to be smart in how we're going to make it work this year, but 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. My hope is that we build a nice a learning station out. The Discovery Center has wanted to help, is going to help us out with things that where right, other schools want to come there and experience that science base, that nature thing. We have to leave the woods, and eventually that whole area will be developed. But along that creek is going to be a through fare almost for animals and wildlife, because the trees have to stay. We can't, and so it's going to be a dynamic area very soon. So we're really excited about all, and then the technology we're going to have helps us to and whenever you build a new school, so the new school is going to have the newer technology. It's just kind of a default thing, and we'll tie that in as well with iPads and things like that and laptops. So we're excited about it. I think you can tell I can't wait to get going.
Now there's the chance that, and you may already be doing this, is drawing in kids that live out beyond the city limits in the county.
Yes.
Now, are they allowed to go into the city schools? Because I know that you're talking about two different budgets that we're dealing with.
Yes, sir. They would apply for a zone exemption, and that would run through our finance department, and then I would be a part of that as well. But right now that we are accepting county applications for Overall Creek. So yes, that area again, it's kind of logical. When a school is on the very edge of the city limits, and that's where the projected growth is for Murfreesboro anyway, so eventually it won't be on the edge of the city limits. It's kind of like the reverse of some of the other county schools that are in the city limits.
Right.
So that's the plan. That's why it's out there. Eventually those people that might be county now, they're going to annexation, and that's not my job, and I don't know all about that, but that eventually it'll be city all the way around it.
So they're also, county students are also part of the zoning issues. If you got somebody that lives in the county on the other side of town, the likelihood is that they will have to go to another school rather than go to yours. Is that right?
Yes, sir, because you'd like for your children to go part of that area or that neighborhood, but if they wanted to, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But there's all those, you know, you got other city schools, say if you were in the Buchanan area, you've got Black Fox and even Case and Lane and some other schools that would be served well there as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's going on at Mitchell Nelson, Butcher?
Well, there's a new program starting over there. It's called Leader in Me. And it basically, I went to a session yesterday afternoon where the gentleman was explaining it. And basically, Truman, it's teaching some leadership skills. The elementary school students, and I think it's a good program. It looks very good. I think there are several parents who are already excited about it. I think they said yesterday that there had been 120, if I'm not mistaken, Lisa, that through zoning could be opted out of Mitchell Nelson schools, but out of 120 of those have decided they want to stay because of this program. It goes back and teaches the leadership skills and things that young people will need later on in life, as a lot of us have talked about for a long time. And it's there are seven steps to it, and I don't remember all the seven steps, but It's a looks like a real good program. I think it's going to be a thing that hopefully there may be other schools that can become part of it. I think Mitchell Nielsen is one of four in the state.
That's
is that
right?
That has taken on this program. So it's.
I was trying to understand a little bit. I was reading a story on it this morning. The story wasn't very clear, but is my understanding it started in North Carolina. And one of the schools there was going probably have to be closed down.
I think so.
And I kept reading into it, and then they talk about starting the program that you went to. And was Mitchell Nielsen in that particular category?
No.
Okay, so
no.
What was the basis behind that? Because as I read the story, it didn't really come to any type of understandable end to it as to why they actually decided to adopt that at Mitchell Nielsen.
Well, I think like what you said earlier, that principals have their own vision for their schools.
Right. Uh-huh.
And as you go across the system, you'll see the Arts Academy at Bradley. You'll see science STEM at Hobgood through NASA. And this is something that Robin and her staff really believed in. And it really talks about not every child is going to be an athlete. Not every child is going to be a gifted child. Mm-hmm. But every child has the ability to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may be a leader of their classroom. They may be the leader of the United States one day. Or maybe they're just the leader of the committee. Mm-hmm. But every child has that inept ability to be a leader.
Right.
When we started looking at that and we started partnering with MTSU, and MTSU is going to start playing an even larger part into this program next year, we were talking about how do we pull that together so that the teachers have something to embrace and to pull these kids together, get them really excited and active, just like they do arts with Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
So Leader in Me is actually part of a Stephen Covey model. And we have visited several Leader in Me schools. And honestly, until you actually walk in the doors of a Leader in Me school, you can't get your head around it. But once you see it, you go, oh yes, these kids now are going to go out with life skills that are being taught every day.
Mm-hmm.
How to cope with their own anxiety, how to become a leader, how to think things through for the end, one of the processes is having a win-win. So how can I do something for you and for someone else that makes everybody happy? So it's just teaching them life skills, teaching them how to be a leader. And that's what the process was. We wanted something at Mitchell Nielsen so they go, oh, this is awesome. And that's how A Leader in Me came about. So Robin and her staff are so excited about this program, Robin Newell being the principal there,
mm-hmm.
and pulling those two schools together. So with the rezoning this year, it just allowed opportunities for schools to have a remake. And that's what Robin wanted to do. It's we have a new zone. We want to have a new thought process, a new life, a school theme. Although theme is not a good word for this. It is just, mm-hmm. it is really a total new way of embracing these children and learning them to lead, teaching them to lead.
Is this something that's going to be incorporated in the other city schools, or is it something that sets them apart from the other city schools?
Right now it sets them apart.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely going to be set apart this year because they are the model of getting this started.
Mm-hmm.
It will not surprise me at all for it to start at Mitchell Nielsen and then see it go to the other schools,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the other principals are already looking at it, reading about it, seeing the progress at the schools. This is not only in the United States, but it's actually global,
mm-hmm.
that Leader in Me has been has gone into schools globally as well as here in the States. So I do see in the future that this becomes even larger in Murfreesboro City Schools.
Well, I commend you guys for looking into that, and
yeah.
and the thing that it keeps coming to my mind is with the demands that are put on mm-hmm. the school systems and the teachers right now from the non-educated group that wants to come in and tell you guys how to run your business.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to work within that system when they have all that pressure in the other schools?
Well, Leader in Me is not a curriculum. It is a way of teaching.
But it's a different way of dealing with the kids.
It is. But it's not going to take any more time. It's just a different way of looking at things where everybody has really looked for their talents. And actually, it allows the kids, the students, to step up and do some of the leadership roles. So when you see programs being put together, it'll be put together by the students. And when you asked Don earlier, if you find a student that has maybe a niche that they really, really mm-hmm. enjoy,
right.
Leader in Me is really going to be able to allow that student to step forward. If they want to lead the Science Olympiad, then that's going to be where their focus is. Mm-hmm. If they, and that's the same thing with across the district. You see students who have just a love of something, and then teachers right. step up and they let that love become part of their curriculum so that they learn by doing. When you walk into a classroom today versus the classroom that I was taught in, the teachers are on the floor teaching, the teachers are up there. It's almost like musical theater sometimes mm-hmm. because they're just everywhere, and they're teaching not just by talking to the kids or talking at the kids. They've got technology, they've got hands-on learning, they have all kinds of centers and manipulatives to help these kids learn the best way they can learn. And it's amazing. It's amazing to watch teachers today. And that's not just at Overall Creek or Mitchell Nielsen. It's across the district. But when you give them these extra gifts of programs like Leader in Me, you see the teachers just get re-energized and enthused. And, you know, our board has been really good about allowing principals mm-hmm. to have a vision and to take it forward in their schools. And you would probably ask the same if you go to Bradley Academy and you go, okay, so you have all the curriculum that you have to teach. Now, how do you teach theater in addition? Well, you don't teach theater in addition. You teach it as part of it.
Right.
So when you see...
Arts is a big part of the school.
Right. It is part of it. So yeah. when you see their theater productions go on and Bradley is doing some theater that is just mm-hmm. phenomenal, well, that's teaching as mm-hmm. well as, I mean, you've got to read. You've got to be able to rehearse. It's all kinds of things that you're teaching while you're teaching arts. Same as what Don is talking about when you're teaching science outside. Mm-hmm. You're still reading, you're still learning, you've got all kinds of activities going on. So it really is just enhancing the curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's not replacing it.
But the kids that are, their talents are not in math.
Mm-hmm.
Their talents are not in science. In the issues that are, they're really putting so much pressure on right now, especially with testing and things like that. How does that work within that system different than what the other schools are having? If you're allowing that type of flexibility with the students, while the other curriculum is more robotic, how do you work the two together? Because I'm hearing so many war stories, and I've been reading and reading and reading, and people are dropping out of Common Core, and some of the states are completely mm-hmm. dropping out of it. And they find it totally... not workable within the classroom, but you're dealing with kids K through 5, and they're just now starting to get their minds where they can accept all of that at one time. How do you deal with that?
I'm gonna let you answer that. Well, he's the educator.
Yeah,
what you deal with that when she's talking about is the integration of it. Mm-hmm. Where you know we got a lot. You talk about Common Core, and mm-hmm. we talk about things like that. If you really sit down and look at it, it's not that it's brand new. You guys were taught with experimental learning, hands-on learning.
Mm-hmm.
There were my dad; he had shop class. He excelled at it.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a math student, and he talks about that. But mm-hmm. we find these niches, and like we talked about earlier, but integrating, for example, when I'm talking about the environment, mm-hmm. that's. If you want to go back to talking about the Common Core, it's a total integration of it. You're still doing the same standards, not the same standards, but you still have a standards-based education. Okay, so we're not just...
You got a different way to travel to get to the answer.
Yes.
In a way that has become so complicated
mm-hmm.
that even the teachers are having trouble with it. Why take a hard road when you got a simple road to get to the same end?
Well, what it When I was at Scales, I was the principal at Scales before I left at Christmas to open up Overall Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, they may have thought it was kind of corny, but I actually changed the, I don't call them teachers, I call them facilitators of learning. They're actually facilitators. And what that was is it was a mindset of that we're not here to tell them to put them in rows and to check off, oh, we got that standard, good, let's move on. If we finish that worksheet, you guys should have it, right? Okay, look, here's the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
What it is we make sure we have a total understanding of it and not so teach to the test, okay? And so and that's what...
I thought that's what they were doing.
Well, we're not when I coach football,
You're teaching in a different way, but you're teaching to the test.
Well, I scouted the team I was playing.
Yeah.
So I had a plan.
Yeah.
On what we were going to do when I was a defensive coordinator.
Right.
What we were going to do and how we were going to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing. Here's the plan. We're going to go to here. This is how we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The best way that I can explain how we're doing it and why it hasn't really, it's again, when we put names to things, everybody kind of gets a little uptight because it's change.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the movie Apollo 13? You ever seen that?
Yeah.
You remember where the part where they had to square peg round hole?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is something we've been doing for years.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So all we've done is put a name to it, but it's really that when you sit down and if you look at the standards, it still talks about in third grade standard and Common Core, we still have to have math fluency. Mm-hmm. We still have to know our threes, our fours, our fives when we're doing our multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
But that's not what I'm seeing because I've been watching how they teach,
mm-hmm.
and all it is, it's putting a shroud around what's going on in the classroom for kids who have really bright minds. And I know some that have just really in the top 5% are having trouble dealing with the way and the manner of how it's been taught.
And that has to do with the implementation, and that would be on me as an administrator in my building. That's going to be on Dr.
Gilbert. Heart.
That's going to be on Dr. Gilbert to mm-hmm. to help us with the implementation of it and a constant training.
Mm-hmm.
We're not ever going to get away from training. They have training days at any anywhere you work. You have staff there, development days, in-service days. Even if teachers were going to do that. So that becomes my problem. It's going to be my problem at Overall Creek
mm-hmm.
on integrating that without the stress and the pressure and the multiple ways, and then it's Dr. Gilbert's problem to help Murfreesboro City.
Mm-hmm.
And the implementation is, that's the hiccup right now, because it's a transition. Yes, some states have been doing it for a while, but Tennessee, kindergarten, first, and second grade, we've been doing it for several years, or multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, it's just in the last couple of years. So it's still new, it's a transition. And with any transition, we're going to run into those hiccups where, I thought this was how it was going to be done. Wait a minute. No, we got to get together as a team and figure mm-hmm. this out. This is the intent. So whenever there's something new, we always take it to the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's human nature. But there's also an intent, and that the intent is not the letter of the law, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to confuse.
The thing that's bothering me the most, I guess, is the lack of input from the educators across the country. It all started from a group that are non-educators,
mm-hmm.
and it bothers me that 80% usually of a budget in a city and a county is made up of education.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
And the biggest target for private enterprise is education and law enforcement, because if they can get involved in that, that's a great moneymaker for a lot of people across the country. It's big time.
Right.
And it just seems like that we would be a whole lot more logically fit if we have educators run our system rather than people outside the education community who have big bucks and they can finance, and it sounds awful good. Hey, we've got millions of dollars coming in from the federal government and through the state and down to us. But they've already got it set up on how it's going to be done, right. Rather in the classroom.
That's right.
I think part of the problem with, and Truman, you and I have talked about this before, but mm-hmm. I think part of the problem with Common Core is it was put out on it was a mandated thing
yeah.
from the higher ups before it was actually explained and before everybody knew exactly what it was to start
and
with.
And it had problems. They'd send down tests. The tests were not correct. And then they'd have to redo it. And all that pressure that was put on the teachers in the classroom. Sometimes you have to walk gently if you
That's
want
true.
Something done correctly and people be able to understand it. You just can't smack them in the face with a baseball bat and say, you're going to do it this way.
No, that's right. That's right.
And Dr. Gilbert's been, I'll be honest with you, she's been very fantastic with that, with defending teachers, principals, students with that. Hey, I've said it and you just said it. Let's walk a little bit before mm-hmm. we run. And she's been a champion for that for us and really helped Murfreesboro City to not get hit in the side of the head with a baseball bat. So I think we're on that right path mm-hmm. for that because she's really defending us. And she's that what you're talking about, that logic part, has been a key element of what she's done for us.
And an example of that is we all thought Common Core was coming on so fast for next year and the coming school year. And then all of a sudden what happens? The people in the legislature decide, nope, it's not going to happen.
There's been an uprise from the grassroots, and even the governor's starting to feel the heat.
I see. On the other hand, some systems, as we did, we spent several dollars on technology,
mm-hmm.
and now they've changed their mind, so we have the technology, but it won't be necessarily for what it was intended
for. Somebody in private enterprise is a whole lot healthier.
Well, that's true.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, yeah.
Our kids are going to benefit from that technology, though. I mean,
it is amazing
what they're able to do with teaching skills and teaching manipulatives, mm-hmm. having technology in the classroom. Yeah. So now, instead of Overall Creek being the only one with the new technology, we have it across the system, which is awesome.
Yes.
We want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And are you hearing everything around you clearly? I hope you are. Did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50? There is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost 2 decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family. You can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. Lisa, Don, Butch, it's great to have you guys on today.
Appreciate it.
It's always good to have interesting conversations. And we will see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock, and we won't have an interesting conversation. We'll have Dan Whittle on, so see you then.